friends, welcome to the Small Business Matters podcast. It is the only podcast that truly matters to small business. My name is Tim Fulton, and I am the founder and chief evangelist for Small Business Matters. I'm the host for today's podcast. My co-host is Taylor Fulton, the director of marketing for Small Business Matters. Taylor, good evening.
Hey, good evening. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's a great time of the year. Weather's changed a little bit. We're getting close to some playoff basketball. I know you're excited about that. Kansas seems well positioned for March Madness. Are you feeling optimistic about that?
Oh, you know, optimistic would be a strong word. I'm feeling anxious is probably the word, anxious.
Well, for good reason, but I'm feeling good about the Jayhawks this season. But enough about basketball, because we have a much more important topic for today's podcast. Taylor, you know, when working with business owners, small business owners, one of the most common topics that come up is about exit strategy. For whatever reason, many small business owners find it much easier to get into business than to get out of business. And they'll ask me, you know, should I sell? Should I pass it on to my kids? Should I just drop out? How do I get out of this mess? And luckily for our listeners today, we have an expert on that topic. Taylor, we've got Pat Wren with us, and I've had the fortune of knowing Pat for quite a few years. He's spoken to a couple of my most vintage groups. He's attended a number of Small Business Matters events. So first of all, Pat, I want to welcome. Welcome to the Small Business Matters podcast.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Taylor.
Pat is the founder. He's the president of the Wren Wealth Management Group, has over 35 years experience in financial services. He's also the author of two books. The first one is called Finding Your Money's Greater Purpose, How to Make Your Legacy Count. And then just recently, he's published Your Financial Future and Legacy. Again, it's all about exit strategy. Pat established the Wren Wealth Management Group in 2000. Before that, served as the vice president of Consolidated Planning Corporation in Atlanta, where he resides. He's got a bachelor's degree in business administration from Villanova University. I think that's in Philadelphia. Tell me if I'm wrong, Pat.
You are correct. It's just outside of Philadelphia.
Just outside of Philadelphia. Great basketball school, as we were talking about earlier. Pat also has an MBA from Loyola College. He also holds a number of other certificates and degrees in his area of financial advisory. Long history of serving on a number of professional, community, charitable organizations. The list just goes on and on. He's been involved in a lot of really important stuff here in Atlanta. Pat, I didn't know this. Began his life in Kavala, Greece, where he lived until the age of 10. Today, as I mentioned, he lives in Atlanta with his wife, Susie. They have two grown sons. In his free time, Pat enjoys travel, golf, fly fishing, and wing shooting. Now, Pat, you're going to have to explain wing shooting to me later in the show, because I don't know what that is, but we'll come back to that. That's not nearly as important. So, Pat, welcome to the show. We always start off with the first question, and that is, what is it that you do that matters to small business?
Thanks, Tim, and I'll explain wing shooting later to a guy that spent some time in Louisiana. I find it incredible that I would have to explain that, but at any rate, what we do that matters is we guide business owners in building what we call transferable value in order to meet their personal financial goals. So we approach business owner planning as wealth managers do. So we bring investment principles and corporate finance principles to business owners to help them increase, hopefully, but certainly develop what we call transferable value. You know, Tim, it doesn't mean that they have to transfer tomorrow. I know that this is a topic that produces a lot of angst with business owners, and they tend, frankly, to put it off. There's a lot of procrastination that goes on in this area. And part of it is because it seems daunting. It's much easier to work on in the business day to day and the work on the business and what eventually will happen to that. But typically it's the largest asset they have and it needs to be planned.
Pat, with that said, we know you've written a book recently about this topic. Tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, you know, the book's broken down into 10 chapters. Those are 10 areas that I feel business owners, from experience that I've had with working in this area, that they ought to address or at least think about. So I don't have any solutions in the book. The book is really intended to help them think through some of the areas that maybe they haven't thought about. And it's not a deep read. It's something that you can read on a flight from here to New York, for example. And by the time you get there, you've got some ideas about what you should be thinking about in terms of the future and your own development in this area when it comes to maximizing the value of your own business.
Well, Pat, I did read the book and very much enjoyed it. And each of the blind spots, all 10, I have certainly witnessed in working with business owners. Which of the 10 would you say is the most significant, maybe the most impactful blind spot for a business owner? If you had to pick one, which one would you hone in on?
Yeah, a lack of a continuity agreement. A continuity agreement is what happens to the business. And when I say what happens to the business, what happens to the employees? What happens to the customers and the clients? What happens to the vendors if something, in fact, happens to the owner, whether they leave voluntarily or involuntarily because of their demise or disability? You and I probably know people that have had car accidents, for example, and had to leave the business, and there was nothing in place for them to continue the business, for the employees to continue the business. I've seen that happen, and it's unfortunate because it was something that was valuable, and then the value was lost.
So, I would say
the continuity agreement, the very first thing that people ought to look at, and that involves your estate planning. And that's another topic that people tend not to put at the top of their list.
Pat, what do you think is the most overlooked blind spot that business owners miss when thinking about this topic?
Well, I think identifying the successor is an important part of this whole equation. I had lunch with a good friend of mine that I go wing shooting with, by the way, Tim.
Okay.
And he owns a software business. And he said, you know, and he's in his 60s. And he said, you know, I got a question the other day that I'm starting to get more and more. And I said, what is that? He said, well, what happens to this business if something happens to you? And I asked him, I said, well, how did you answer that? And I knew that he had not done any planning just because we're personal friends and this has come up occasionally and he has not been receptive to the whole idea. And it's a successful business. There are 9 or 10 employees. You know, all those employees, by the way, have families and financial considerations of their own. And he has a number of clients, very successful. And he said, well, the way I answered it was I plan to be here for a long time. I, on the other hand, have had a succession plan in place for over 25 years. And we bring it up with every new client because, frankly, it's the elephant in the room. It's obvious that I'm not a spring chicken anymore, but I have young people that work with me. And it's something that we find is a great asset when we tell them that this is what's going to happen. I think it helps solidify our initial engagement, frankly.
Well, Pat, I'm sure you have worked with a lot of business owners in and around this topic. Tell me a little bit more. What is your role when a client comes to you and says, help me? What is your role in working with that client? What does that look like?
Sure. So the first thing is to set up some kind of a meeting. It can be Zoom. It could be in person. It can be very casual. And just my role at that meeting is to listen to what is the concern, why did they contact me, what do they know about us, that sort of thing. And then to talk about what they've done in terms of their own planning up to this point. If after that conversation there's some interest and we both feel that there's a reason to move forward, we have an assessment that we offer that helps them identify all the areas that are important to them. It might be exiting the business at some point in time. I had a call in the last couple of months where I had a lady that owned a business, and she said, I am ready to go. And after we talked a little bit, it turns out she was quite comfortable if that process would take 3 to 5 years. And that's ideal, frankly, Taylor. If we have that kind of time, we can get a lot done. If it's, I have an offer and I'm not sure I can live on the money that I'm being offered, that's a lot more difficult. So we have an assessment and we look at what we term value drivers in the business, which is what does the management succession look like? What is the incentive for key people to stay? One of the great risks is that people would leave. What is the tax situation? What is the structure? Is there enough money in the business to grow the business? Do they have to rely on debt? All those sorts of things go into the assessment. And then after that assessment, we design an engagement plan that might take, it's going to take at least a year and usually more. And if we have the luxury of that time, we feel we can help the owner maximize the value of their life's work and exit on their own terms, get the money that they need, and transfer the business to the people that they want.
Pat, it seems like this type of planning process has been foundational for a long time. But in terms of where we are in 2024, what are some current trends that are new or maybe more unique than we haven't seen before?
Well, I would say that, and this is, in my opinion, the result of the time we all shared together during COVID. COVID resulted in a lot of people rethinking their whole life's mission, if you will, what they wanted to do. And it was a reflective tie because they had to make some adjustments in how they operated their business and to what extent their business was important to them. My assessment of that result is that more people are now intent on working a little bit longer in the business than maybe they were in the past. And this is borne out if you look at all the national figures on M&A, mergers and acquisitions, buyouts, those kinds of things. That whole area has slowed down a little bit. So I would tell you that people are going to be working a little longer, it seems to me. And given that, there are ways to leverage the business to accomplish personal financial goals. You can get money out of the business without having to sell it. And there are quite a number of ways to do that. And that is of more interest to people than it was in the past.
So, Pat, I always like to hear good stories, examples. So give me two examples. The first, a success story, someone you've worked with and it just worked out beautifully for them in whatever way.
Yep.
And then the second would be a failure, not your failure, but maybe a business owner whose exit failed in some way. Give us one example of both, please.
Okay. I was brought in by a consultant to a situation. There were two owners. And one was very interested in selling the business as soon as possible, wanted to retire, had had enough. He was the marketing person in the business and I think didn't have children. The wife was a professional. And they both had decided at this point in time that they would rather go to the beach, put their feet in the sand, and clip coupons. The other shareholder was a woman that did all the other work. You know, once once he got the client, she did all the work. And she was very intent on continuing the work. So we found a buyer where it was, we were able to accomplish both objectives. The fellow that wanted to retire got enough money, so he took off. And she worked for the other company for a number of years, and she recently retired. But she also had a nice pot of money that was invested. She earned a nice income for a number of years, and then she finally decided it was time for her to retire. So that was a great success. Still working with her and her children and enjoying that very much. I had two clients that were very dependent on one large customer. And there was obviously tremendous risk in that. And sure enough, in one case, the large company came and said, this was a manufacturer who had just built a plant, by the way, had expanded, had a daughter in the business, and was living a very good life. He was told that the company that was buying this particular product was going to virtually integrate and do it themselves. They were going to manufacture this particular item themselves. And 80% of his income went out the door overnight. Luckily, we had done some planning. We put in a substantial retirement plan for him, and there was enough cash. So he was able to muddle along for a couple of years. He hung on to the new warehouse. And then luckily, the company called him one day and said, we made a mistake. We still love you. And he geared up. He had, in the meantime, let people go. I mean, it was a bad situation for a while, but it turned out okay in the end. And he did sell his company to a Fortune 100 company eventually, and he was able to retire and the family did okay. So even though that was risky and didn't turn out well for a period of time, eventually it turned out okay.
Pat, when thinking about your role, obviously you fit a very specific problem and solution, but what other advisors or consultants often get involved as part of this process?
Yeah, thanks for that question, Taylor, because it is a cooperative and collaborative process. Mm-hmm. So obviously the tax preparer, the CPA, financial people that the business owner has had a relationship with are a very important input on this, how to handle if there is a sale, for example, or what we call a recapitalization. If more money is injected into the company, how to handle that. We need tax counsel on a lot of those moves. Also, the attorney, corporate attorney. We want to be sure that all the documents that are drafted are up to date, employment contracts, any kind of contracts that are with suppliers or customers, those all need to be buttoned up. Estate planning, you know, what does the will say? What happens if the owner gets disabled? Is there a buyout? All those require other people and evaluation, a qualified valuation, not something that we all think is what the company is worth, but a qualified valuation by someone that is certified in this area is also necessary if we get serious about this area. So I would say those are the other folks that are essential in this process. Many times we need some management assistance. You know, you'll find people that need help in incenting their employees, managing their employees, the whole area of HR, especially if it's not in-house, needs some attention.
Pat, I'm glad you brought up the valuation. I think you mentioned this in the book, that maybe that's one of the first things the business owners should do, because you know, oftentimes their sense of what their company is worth is very different than what the market might believe their business is worth, right? We all think our babies are beautiful, but maybe that's not always the case. So I'm glad you brought that up. So I've got one more question for you. Then I'm going to turn it over to Taylor for his rapid fire questions. We're going to switch gears a little bit. Pat, you're a business owner, small business owner, have been for 30-something years. You've got your team. So how would you describe your role as the leader of your agency? What, at the highest level, what are you responsible for?
Well, I think what a leader does, Tim, is set the pace. I believe that you have to live your values, and those get transferred to your employees. I think it was Carl Jung said, you are what you do, not what you say you'll do. So example is certainly the best teacher. And the fact that you set the tone in terms of work schedule, how people are treated, how to grow the business, and frankly, how to grow employees as both professionally and personally, I think is the role that I hope to play and build a culture where people really enjoy coming to work.
Clearly, you have exemplified this, given that you have owned and operated your own agency, very successful agency for so long. Friends, you're listening to the Small Business Matters podcast. It is the only podcast that truly matters to small business. Our guest today is Pat Wren, one of Atlanta's best financial advisors and author of a recently published book, Your Financial Future and Legacy. So, Pat, this is my favorite part of the podcast. Taylor's got a handful of rapid-fire questions for you. He's going to trick you in some way. I'll advise you that. You're going to best answer, and I'm betting on you. Taylor?
All right. Thanks for setting the stage. First and foremost, I know this is on every listener's mind. What is wing shooting?
Okay, so that's shooting birds with a shotgun.
Okay. Makes a lot more sense now. Well,
it's hunting. And I got that from a very sort of upper class friend of mine who used the term wing shooting instead of hunting, which seemed to be more socially acceptable, I believe.
Yeah, I can see that. So being originally from Greece, what is your favorite Greek food?
Oh, my gosh. My wife makes pastitsio, which she learned. She loves Greece, by the way, which I'm very fortunate because I have relatives in that area of the world. And we go over every few years. And she fell in love with it the first time we went in 1974. And she learned this recipe from my mother. And we serve it when we have company, and it's a big hit. She does a great job with it.
Mm, sounds great. We mentioned your book, but what is another book that you would say is your favorite or that you would most recommend to an audience such as ours?
You know, I reread a book that was written by a Notre Dame professor, Tom Morris. It's entitled, If Aristotle Ran General Motors. And I reread it every year. It sets a tone for first character building, you know, spending time with ancient wisdom to develop character so that you would run a business in a way that it should be run. It's not everyone's cup of tea, I'm sure, but it speaks to me in terms of values and character as opposed to, you know, the more superficial technologies of working with people.
That leads us into our next question. Talk just briefly about your team and the hiring process. What would you say when hiring is a characteristic or a soft skill that you look for specifically?
You know, I've been very fortunate. I have had people throughout my career that have had longevity with me. And I'm not sure that I can transfer that success because it's like a successful marriage. Who knows what makes a successful marriage? You know, there's a lot of luck involved in these things. But I will tell you that it's pretty apparent to me fairly early in talking to someone if we share the same values.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the important part. The technical part can be learned. People skills can even be improved. But if the value match is not there, then I move on.
And last question for you, Pat. This is a favorite on the podcast. So let's say that Hollywood is going to make a movie about your life. Which actor is playing Pat in the movie about Pat?
Okay, I'll answer it this way. When The Godfather first came out, people kept stopping me in the elevator, on the street, in the restaurants, asking me if I was Al Pacino. And at the time, we both looked alike. Now, he stayed better looking, and I sort of aged and matured and moved on. But that probably Al Pacino would be appropriate, given that history.
I like Al Pacino. You know, we always ask this question, and I was thinking, man, who's Pat going to say? And I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but Al Pacino, 100%.
It is. You know, Taylor, we're lucky we're on a Zoom call right now. Our listeners don't have that pleasure, but, you know, we can see Pat. There's no question of the resemblance to Al Pacino. Right on target. So, Pat, I'm sure that a number of our listeners will want to reach out to you individually with their questions, or maybe you want to purchase your book. What's the best, the easiest way for them to reach you?
Yeah, the easiest way is the website, RENN, my last name, wealth.com. And there's a area there where you can contact us and tell us what you want. That's the best way. And I'm happy. The book's available to anyone that wants it. I would love to make it available if anyone is in any kind of business groups or any of that sort of thing that think they would benefit from reading it. It's really my gift to sharing the information that I've accumulated over the years, which I think is important information.
Well, thank you, Pat. That's a very generous offer, and I encourage our listeners, particularly those small business owners, to take advantage of that and pick up your copy of Your Financial Future and Legacy by Patrick Wren. Well, Taylor, like usual, I've got a whole page of notes from our time with Pat today, the importance of having a written document, a continuity plan, something that can hopefully maybe even outlive the business owner. He also talked about the importance of succession and thinking sooner than later of, okay, who's going to be next in line to run this business to take it to the next level. You also asked him a question about trends in this area of exit planning, and he talked about how many business owners now are putting off retirement. They're working longer. There's also, maybe as a result, less M&A activity today than what we've seen traditionally. You asked him the question about other advisors being involved in this process. And yeah, I think he said rightly that it's a collaborative effort. You need the attorney. You need the tax guy. You need other consultants to come in. It's a team effort. And last, he also talked about the importance early on in the process for a business owner to get a evaluation on their business, get an idea of what the business is worth now before you start looking for maybe a potential buyer or someone to succeed you. So just those are just a couple things that Pat shared with our audience. Taylor, how about for you? What stood out for you?
I think the biggest thing that stood out to me, other than learning what wing shooting is, of course, is, you know, the time it takes for this plan to unfold. I think Pat said sometimes years to put this plan in place. So it's not something that business owners can just say, oh, well, you know, I'll do that in a few months, or I'll kick that down to Q4. It takes a lot of thought and preparation.
So Pat, thank you again for being with us. And we hope that you'll come back and be with us again.
Thank you both. I enjoyed the time together.
Thanks, Pat.
Taylor, a couple of quick announcements. Any of our listeners who are not already subscribers to the Small Business Matters newsletter, I would encourage you to do so. You can do that on our website, smallbusinessmatters.com. online.com. We talked a little bit about books, and most of our listeners know that I'm fortunate. I've got a couple books on Amazon, Small Business Matters and all that jazz. And most recently, the book, The Meeting. So if you're looking for a good book, you certainly can find any of those on Amazon. Looking forward, Taylor, tomorrow or Wednesday this week, I'm hosting another Small Business Matters lunch. We've got some excellent guests that are going to be with us for a roundtable discussion. So a lot going on in the world of small business matters. Taylor, I also want to remind our listeners to please rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. Tell your friends about it. And we'd love to have you back for the next Small Business Matters podcast. Taylor, did I leave anything out?
No, I think you covered it. Great stuff.
Very good. Well, listeners, thank you again for listening to the Small Business Matters podcast. It is the only podcast that truly matters to small business. May each of you continue to pursue all that matters.